Tini Tani had a crazy weekend, Sherry. Did she get you? Do you follow her on Instagram?
I do not. I'm sorry.
It is no big deal.
I know.
Deal, Sherry. It's
okay. Thank you for letting me off the hook.
It's nutty. Nutty. Her and Jacob are out doing stuff. It's great. Jacob, I'm surprised she let you take those pictures of you. All right. Gosh, lots of news. Here we go. David, you ended up again. All right. You really should follow her. She's got 56,422 people following her right now, so she is hot stuff. Mm. All right. Let's see. The governor and Bob Ferguson said, you know, we don't want you having those guns. They're too scary. So if you were a pawn shop and you had known as, quote unquote, assault weapons, and you were a pawn shop and somebody has the gun, there it is. You're going to sell it, make the money on it. But whoops, not so fast. You've got all these guns that are now illegal.
And Pistol Annie's and Bonnie Lee.
This is a handguard for an AR.
They're not fans of Washington's new assault weapons ban.
This is illegal. It's a chunk of metal.
Chad Baer says the law has hampered business.
This is now illegal to sell in Washington.
Leaving them with inventory they can't sell.
I think in the building, somewhere to the tune of right around 50 grand.
But that's not the only issue. Pistol Annie's is a pawn shop.
If somebody leaves a pawn here and they don't come back for it, what do I do with it?
Chad tells me this is an issue many pawn shops are dealing with because people use assault weapons as collateral to get loans they need. But if the owner doesn't come back, the collateral left behind is no good.
Now I'm stuck with something that I can't transfer. I can't sell it. I can't do anything with it. It just sits here.
An average person should be able to read this and say, oh, I'm exempt, or, oh, this is covered.
Senator Phil Fortunato says this situation could have been cleared up if his amendment to the assault weapons ban would have been accepted.
Pawns are exempt from this because if they pawn it, it's not a sale, and they're getting their own firearm back.
But since it wasn't?
So now we just got to keep asking the AG, is this covered? Is this covered? Is this exempt?
Which isn't ideal for the people working at impacted businesses.
It's frustrating, and it's stressful.
That's King 5, Mr. Hooker there with that story. So you're stuck with the merchandise. You can't do anything about it. I called the place I bought my scary gun when I went in to buy the scary Inslee gun. And I called them today to see what the story is. And they said, no, that doesn't affect us. We ship out of state. Hmm. So you can take the gun and you can sell it to somebody else in another state.
And there's no, there's nothing, is there some sort of legal crossing state lines or anything like that? I mean, is that, could that create a problem?
From what I gathered from the guy on the phone, no, they haven't heard anything. The state has said anything to them. They're just, somebody wants to buy a gun. They put them up online. You fill out all the forms, you run the guy's background on the thing, and then you can ship the thing.
So they just can't sell it to Washington state residents, but if somebody, say, in Iowa finds right. out that this exists, they can buy the gun legally and have it shipped
yeah,
to them.
Yeah, put it up online, and then you have these guns that you want to sell, and there they are on the internet, and then, yeah, you can ship it to somebody in Iowa, Illinois, any place you want. So I don't know why the guy there at Orphan Annie's, what's the name of the place? put them up, sell them that way. That's what they're doing where I was able to get my gun.
Yeah, it just seems like that's a loophole that they would have, you know, come up with, where they would have sealed because they realized that that's a real possibility. And but I guess if the objective is to prevent ownership in Washington, not elsewhere.
That's right. Right. So it's keeping everybody in Washington safe from the scary guns. And Washington State Homicide, this guy that Jacob spoke to who keeps track of every single homicide in the state of Washington, he tallies them up. You can follow him online. So every Monday he's got them up there. So we are at 168 so far in 2023. He says at the current pace, homicides in the state of Washington should pass the five-year average by last week, September. Be very close to us trying to break the last record of 380. And of those, he lists the police shootings. He gives you all the different cities, 29 in Seattle, 16 in Tacoma, 8 in Spokane, and he's got Yakima and Kent and Vancouver and Federal Way in there. And I don't see any assault weapons. But that doesn't matter, because it really wasn't about making anybody really safe. It was really about scoring political points and getting scary guns off the market, because the guns are so scary, right? Because they look scary. And that's... they achieved exactly what they wanted to do. So you got the photo of Inslee and Bob Ferguson, who wants to be your governor, keeping everybody safe. And again, we are at 168 people shot, homicides in the state of Washington. And according to the statistics, we are going to be going towards a up to a record that we haven't seen in 5 years. Then the guy at Washington State Homicide then lists all the different shootings that have occurred over the last week. So, but again, remember, got rid of those guns. We're all a lot safer because of it. The other story out there is the fact that Washington State spat of this is the lawsuits for workers fired for the refused COVID vaccine. Seattle Times has this story. So remember this, that you have to get the shot. Got to get the shot. If you don't get the shot, well, first of all, get the shot and we'll give you a lottery ticket, or get the shot and we'll give you tickets to something, or get the shot or we'll send you a pizza. Well, that didn't work when a pipe was like, well, I don't think I really want this thing. It's experimental. Hasn't really truly been proven to be effective. I'd rather take a pass on this. State of Washington said, okay, well, okay. All right. Well, you could either show us the religious accommodation or give us some other excuse as to why you don't get the shot. And if not, you lose your job. Then you lose the ability to feed your family. You lose the ability to pay the rent or pay the mortgage. We'll destroy you financially if you don't get this shot. So there are a number of people that have brought their cases to court. And as the Seattle Times says, that the judges swatted them away. I like that. So there was a case, I think it might be Illinois. I can't remember which state it is. The $10 million lawsuit was allowed to go through. They're suing the hospital employer, a bunch of nurses are, saying you didn't give us religious accommodations. You simply dismissed it out of hand. So the judge said, yeah, you know what? I'll let this stand. You owe these people $10 million. In the state of Washington, it's not an easy fight. They'll make it as difficult for you as possible, especially the people that they have that are sort of highlighting in this piece that are still trying to have their lawsuit and their case heard.
Right. They say the state is facing more than a dozen lawsuits involving about 180 ex-employees. This includes trappers, nurses, psychiatrists, mental health counselors, and you know, just a whole array of industries that's affected. 67 state patrol troopers. And so they're going to go to court. This is kind of the second go round of court. The first time a lot of them didn't win, but they're saying that the main problem here is that the state really didn't consider all of the accommodations and they didn't necessarily handle those properly. So maybe this time around, they'll be able to win their case.
I think there was an email that somebody was able to get their hands on, basically saying, yeah, we'll give you accommodations, but we're going to make it as difficult for you as possible. I'm paraphrasing that the high bar on this. You just don't want everybody going, oh, yeah, religious accommodation. Yeah. I'm religious. And, you know, according to my religion and my God or whatever, I'm not going to get the shot. They don't want you squirreling out on the thing. So there's a number of people that did get fired, did lose their job, and now they're going to come to be able to sue for, I assume, there'd be some pain and suffering in there, and then back wages and the likes. They'll have to be able to prove that the state didn't really consider their religious accommodation, didn't really do everything they possibly could to make the accommodations. A friend of mine who was teacher of the year for, I think, 5 years running, and he said, for religious reasons, I'm not going to get this experimental chemical injected into my body. And they said, okay, well, then you have to, if that's the case, then you have to wear a mask every single day. And then once a week, you have to take a test and show us on Friday that you don't have COVID. So we'll be testing you every week, and you have to continue to wear the mask every single day. And he said, you're making it very hard for me, and I will not do any of that. And then they said, okay, then we have to let you go. So every kid never gets a chance to spend any time with this teacher because the state, even though the state, I believe, knew the real science, they needed to force this. They needed compliance from everybody. Nobody's allowed to get out on this. So it'll have a tough time in the state of Washington because the judges and the Democrats, it's a one-party rule in the state of Washington. They're all helping one another continue to have all the great power that they so richly deserve. So this guy, yeah, this guy won't win.
Well, the 67 state troopers are saying that this violates a law that entitled them to a 3-member trial board. So before Ooh. They were allowed to be fired at all, that was part of their due process, and that was violated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, then maybe you will be able to have somebody see that they didn't go through the proper channels for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's there are 8,300 lawsuits across the country for this on this very subject.
Yeah, I saw that. And there's, I think Fisher something or other keeps track of all of them. I think there's 168 in the state of Washington. It would be nice to see people be held accountable for this. But if they can find that they didn't get the proper hearing and have the three people on the panel, maybe they'll find their way around it. The RNC announces the date for the first presidential debate, the criteria for the candidates, what they must meet in order to be on stage. What, do they got to be polling at 1%? Is that right?
Yeah, so it's kind of a little bit of a complicated mix here, but 1% in 3 national polls, or 1% in 2 national polls and 1% in early state polls from 2 separate carve-out states, which include Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. Mm-hmm. In order for the poll to count, here's what has to happen with the survey methodology. They have to survey at least 800 registered likely Republican voters through a mix of live calls, integrated voice response, online panels, or text messages.
Okay.
Not overly weight responses of any individual cohort beyond the margin of error of the poll. Ask the question on presidential preference prior to any question which may allow potential bias, and not be conducted by a polling company affiliated with a candidate or candidate committee.
Hmm. You know, I read that and I was thinking, I bought this book from Tim Urban. Tim is a guy probably famous from most people. I think he has the most watched or one of the top most watched TED Talks in the world when he talked about procrastination. He wrote a new book called What's Our Problem? A self-help book for societies. And it was an interesting part of it. He says that, you know, if you think about politics now is like a reality television show. Reality television shows really don't deal much with your rational executive part of your brain. It's all emotional stuff, right? And they take some bombastic characters and then they have them say crazy things and they put them in, you know, normal situations. But we all know the reality television shows are like candy, right? You just, you know, you shouldn't eat too much of it, but it's a fun treat every once in a while. So you sit down and watch a reality show. He said that's what politics has turned into. You know, they pass hundreds and hundreds of bills every single year through Congress, but AOC is one of the reality television stars. Donald Trump is a reality television star. That these people get highlighted because they're the ones that are most outrageous, that allow us to have sort of our monkey brain engaged. And in the monkey brain, which is all just basically, oh, that's, I feel great about this, or I'm angry about that. So you're just responding to politics purely on an emotional level. And even these debates are nothing really more than that, right? If you think about the Lincoln-Douglas debate, which I think was like 7 hours long, Lincoln spoke for like 3 hours, and then Douglas had an hour to respond, and then he had another 2 hours. And now there's any microphones, and thousands of people showed up. He just talks and talks and talks. I mean, really, really in-depth, long debates. These things like, you know, what will we do about the crisis of China and Taiwan? Will we defend Taiwan? You have 30 seconds for your answer. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, and then the other guy's got 30 seconds to respond, and then you have 1 minute to respond to his response. It's just, it's like a reality show. And once you sort of put it in those terms, you think, am I being well served by any of this presentation?
Well, and it's only fun when they get into a fight, right? When the two of them start to fight with each other, and then it gets interesting. Otherwise, it's their scripted answers, and you're like, yeah, okay. But when one of them takes a shot at the other one,
yeah,
then it's kind of fun. And that is right. Very much reality television.
That is reality show. Yeah, they should let them have, like, glasses of wine, because you watch a lot of reality shows. A lot of throwing of glasses of wine, or just throwing of water on somebody. That'd be good, too, right?
Yeah, and a lot of lip injections, so. They could all have that. That may be one of the requirements for the Democrats.
Yeah. You have a certain percentage of your lip. They get at least 2% of your lip must be able to hide parts of your teeth. As somebody without an upper lip, Sherry, I'm going to just take a pass on that, and I can take that personally, okay?
Okay. I'm glad.
I see you. I see you looking at my upper lip right now, Sherry.
I've not. I never noticed it. No, it's
oh,
not.
Oh, yeah, you're... now it's all you can see now.
Now you have beautiful teeth. Why would you want to cover them? Okay, that's not good. Don't do that to your lip. Don't do that to your lip. It's going to stick.
It's going to stay like that. Alrighty. News that some news organizations seem to miss. I don't understand why, but it's a pretty big story. So June 2020, an informant that the FBI had used numerous times that had paid pretty good amounts of money, at least six-figure salary, or payments to this source. In June of 2020, this person said they had heard from somebody that Joe Biden, when vice president, received a $5 million bribe, which he then gave to his family. It came from a foreign country in which Biden used his powers to be able to have the action of the United States government be in favor of the country that had given him the money, to sort of sum it up clumsily. This was then given to the FBI, and now Comer and Grassley, Congressman Comer and Senator Grassley, have been investigating the Biden family and Joe Biden for about 2-3 years now, and they've been trying to find this sort of stuff. They now know that the FBI has this and has had this piece of paper from this informant, who they've used before for numerous things. So the guy must be legit, or the gal must be legit. And the FBI says, yeah, we're not going to show it to you. It's too high classified, and we can't do this. And then they said, no, you don't understand. The FBI gets your power. We give you the power. Congress gives you the power. So we want to see it, and a subpoena to see it. Ray holds back. Nope, there's nothing to see. Then finally, it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I said, okay, there is this. We do have that, but we're only going to let you Raskin from New York see it. Didn't give him enough. Comer went in front of the cameras today, basically saying, on Thursday, by the way, Christopher Wray, you will come before us with contempt charges. And
the confidential human source who provided information about then Vice President Biden being involved in a criminal bribery scheme is a trusted, highly credible informant who has been used by the FBI for over 10 years and has been paid over six figures.
Uh-oh.
These are facts, and no amount of spin and, frankly, lies from the White House or congressional Democrats can change this information. At the briefing, the FBI again refused to hand over the unclassified record to the custody of the House Oversight Committee, and we will now initiate contempt of Congress hearings this Thursday. Given the severity and complexity of the allegations contained within this record, Congress must investigate further. Americans have lost trust in the FBI's ability to enforce the law impartially and demand answers, transparency, and accountability.
It used to be when the FBI says, guys, we can't show you this, you know, we're investigating. Congress used to go, oh, okay, you know what, you're right. You got a lot of power, we don't interfere. But they've really... The trust has eroded to such a point that they're like, yeah, we're not buying that anymore. Christopher Wray seems to be the last guy to kind of understand that you really have a fairly broken down organization there. And they're going to make him sit there on Thursday, and they're going to ask him questions. When Raskin got up to speak, they both did sort of opposing press conferences. Raskin didn't realize that Comer hadn't said what country it was. Raskin said Ukraine. Then they started asking him questions. I'm sure he wanted to back off that and take back that, oh, well, I didn't mean Ukraine. But he sort of spilled a bit more of the beans. So this soap opera continues, and on Thursday, Christopher Wray will be there before the Judiciary Committee answering questions as to the document. They want to see the document. You can cover up the name of the guy. We don't have to know who that is, but we want to see the whole thing. What are the allegations? And again, just allegations, but from a credible source. Do you have any interest in this latest turn of reality television show, Sherry?
Sure. I mean, I think we're getting somewhere finally. I mean, I've always said the stuff with Hunter Biden, you know, I could kind of take it or leave it. The only part that really bothers me is the idea that then Vice President Biden was involved in this somehow. He says that James Comer says that this details a $5 million plot involving a pay-for-play bribery scheme, and that it'll show a pattern of bribery where payments are being made through shell accounts through multiple banks. So there's a lot here. And if it implicates Biden, President Biden specifically, yeah, I mean, this could make or break him, or mostly break him if they can get the information in a timely manner, because this thing has been dragged out and, like they said, slow walked and everything else for years now.
Right. And they're also the next charge is they're putting the dates in place. They're saying, wait, you had this in June of 2020. You didn't report it. You kept that. You slow walked it. The people who were investigating, you moved them off it. They might also try to connect the idea that the FBI was directly or slightly indirectly, through passivity, interfering in the election as well. So that might also be wrapped up on this. It's Thursday where Christopher Wray gets a chance to come clean on some of this. The other kind of sad story is that, very quickly, Hunter Biden got a woman pregnant. She has a baby, and Hunter Biden doesn't want her to use his last name.
Yeah, it's pathetic. I mean, first of all, he's going to court for two things. He has a $20,000 a month payment to her, which the court had decided a while ago. And so he wants that reduced because he says his income has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. The baby, London Roberts, is the mother's name. She wants to change the baby's name instead of Roberts to Biden because of the obvious reasons that this is the president's grandchild, right? Mom. And he's saying that the political warfare that she could face by being a Biden isn't fair to the baby. and I think it's awful. You know, this is his child. The child should be able to have his name. He just doesn't want the embarrassment, probably. And then the Bidens have some, I guess, imperative to recognize the child, right? If she has their name, they can't deny it anymore. And I'm sure there's probably pushback or resistance on their part. They don't want to be associated with this. I think the mom was a exotic dancer or something like that.
Right. And when the Bidens are asked about how many grandchildren they have, they tend to forget about that kid.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, it's not the kid's fault.
No, yeah, I mean, paternity was established back in 2020, and then the payments became retroactive to 2018. So he's been having to pay her, you know, like $750,000 a year. And he's saying, I don't make that kind of money. And she's saying, that's not true. I know you have the money.
Well, that's more of the reality television show of today's politics. So, all right, well, get ready. Get yourself some popcorn, Cherry, in a bowl, not a big plastic bucket. You know, that bothers you.
In a real bowl.
Real bowl, real butter. And then you can go.
Oh, no. I don't lick my fingers.
Okay. Didi, make Nate laugh. Nate, I love Katie. You're so funny. You're funny. All right. Oh, yeah, I got the mailman now. We're still working, Sherry. We're still working.
I know.
Nate, stop it. She's tickling him.
I'm the mailman. That's not right.
That's not right.
Really? Be careful, Katie. That'll cost you.
Ooh, look out. It'll get on you right away. All right, we get the letter of the day. First, take care of all the rest. Sherry.
William Tolliver, Trevor in the 206, says, good question, Sherry.
That's right. John in Bremerton said, did someone change the definition of gentleman? I like using that because the people use that all the time. And the gentleman murdered 10 people. Yeah. No one's changed it. Sorry,
nope.
John.
Uber. Uber ratings. Uber.
Good God, you're in a silly mood. You, you
and Nick. All right, 253. I worked for a big box dental company that would give gifts if patients would give them a 5-star rating. Cheesy.
Oh, that is cheesy. Let's see. Question for John and Sherry regarding Amazon delivery ratings. What do you do, guys? Did you click all the options that they did well, even if some of them were not applicable, like being friendly, even if it didn't seem to have interaction with the driver? Or do you just select one, select the ones that are applicable, like mindful of property, et cetera? I don't think I've ever filled out one of those things for Amazon.
I don't either. I've never even seen one.
Oh, it's such a great question. That's, I ask myself that every day.
Yeah, we do.
360 says, John has had every job in every industry with a story. If not, he has 5,000 friends, and he has their stories.
That's true. What am I, in Kooky Town? That's right. You know what? You're right, Mr. 360. I know a lot of people. All right?
Mm-hmm.
206 rating system is bad. I was fired from the dealership due to people giving me bad surveys because they wanted something for free. Whoa. The more you complain, you get something for free. Cars take long to get repaired due to lack of techs and back-ordered parts. People couldn't understand. It's a me now mentality. It's so sad. Yes, it is a me now mentality.
Mm-hmm. 206 says Airbnb will drop hosts with less than a 4.8 rating.
Oh, boy. All right.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
A lot of good comments about Erica, our guest. So here we go. Letter of the day, Sherry.
All right. 425 says this. John has his hair, eyes, and nether regions covered by sponsors. It's probably time to add upper lip to the list. Surely someone has a connection.
Okay, first of all, nether regions.
Well, yeah. You know, that one.
No, I don't.
But I'm okay with anything.
All right, then. That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
This only drop I can find. All right. I say we do another hour. I'm up for it. I know I got more stories about other people's jobs. All right?
Let's do it.